Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John, engineering and producing the show. Welcome to the program. Monday, the 24th of August, 2020, bringing Southern Arizonans together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And we take the piggyback with KVOI.com to take that live feed. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Oh my goodness, the air quality is horrible out there today. It is very poor, and the people at the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality say the problem is smoke and kind of the high temperatures, expecting 110 today. The California fires kind of commingling with smoke from 7 active Arizona fires. So if you don't have to go outside in this, it's probably best to stay inside. Our Monday political face-off, John Munger is here today. Well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents and one-time presidential campaign. No, he didn't go that far. No. He did run for Arizona's governorship. Hey, how are you, John?
I'm great, Bill.
All right. Jeff Rogers is here, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, what did you think of that air quality driving over here to the station?
Well, it's pretty bad out there.
It is.
It's a street lights. I've seen it.
The street lights were coming on at Alvernon and Grant. That shows how much smoke we have in the air. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing brings us the Monday political face-off, family-owned and run since 1985. They're doing e-commerce now. They've redesigned the website. Looks really good. I kind of have a stake in it because they're showing the Bill Buckmaster collection of fine antique prints and maps. And I'm always telling people, hey, if you're going to be doing all these Zoom conferences now, why not have a beautiful antique map or print over your shoulder as you're doing
the
Zoom? So check it out at moesgallery.com, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. So Jeff and John, it looks like Joseph Biden, Joe Biden, got a little bit of bump out of the convention. And in past, these conventions would give you kind of a sizable bump, but this was virtual.
Well,
and there weren't that many people watching.
There was a big poll came out yesterday from CBS and YouGov that pegged the margin at 10 points, 52-42.
Okay.
And that's a pretty good margin. And not only that, it's the first poll I've actually seen now where they're using a likely voter screen. And so usually the numbers get a little tighter when they start using likely voter screens on the people in the polls. So that's a pretty that's really a pretty sizable bump in a way. We've seen lots of polling showing 10-point leads, and I think the average polling is around 8 points. But when you get to a likely voter, that's a little bit of a bump, I think. I think things look pretty good today, and I think the Democrats did everything they needed to do in that convention. Even though it was virtual, it knocked home all of the points. You saw the diversity of America that you usually see at Democratic conventions. I think Joe Biden did quite well. There were even Republicans praising his speech. It was nice to see a lot of moderate Republicans joining in and being part of that convention. And so you have basically moderate Democrats, the progressives, moderate Republicans, I mean, all coalescing around the Biden-Harris ticket.
And you're saying he did what he had to do.
He did everything he needed to do and more, I think.
What does President Trump have to do this week, John?
Well, number one, the polls, there are polls out. There was a CNN poll out just the other day, just right after the Democratic convention, that showed that there was only a 4-point difference. And there's a Rasmussen poll saying saying that it's about the same. So the polls are all over the place. Trump appears to have gotten a bump. Trump has gotten a bump out of the Democratic convention, according
to
these polls.
Trump got a bump out of what?
The Democratic convention, yes.
From those that apparently were watching the Democratic
convention? Well, I don't know, but he got a bump afterwards.
That's unusual.
According to these polls. But the Republicans need to be talking policy. The Democrats talk no policy at all. They talk platitudes. They're concerned about this. They're concerned about that. They're concerned about coronavirus, for example. But they never offered any solutions. They're concerned about various things in their feelings, but they never expressed any policies. You didn't hear any policy coming out of the Democratic convention at all.
Are you saying it was personality driven?
It's all anti-Trump. That's all it is. They talk more about Trump than they talked about policy. They just hate Donald Trump. They're in hysteria about Donald Trump, and they hate him so much that they don't talk about policies anymore, and in fact, they don't have any policies at all.
Just anti-Trump.
It's anti-Trump, and they never uttered one word about our cities burning down and the riots and Antifa and all of these terrible problems in the cities. Nary a word. Never any support for the police. They didn't talk about any issue. I challenge anybody listening to go find one policy matter other than raising taxes.
Let's talk about policy, John. You know, the Republican Party, for the first time in its history, that would be about 170 years dating back to the 1850s, has no platform. Basically, just said, see our last platform, which does nothing except criticize the current administration.
President Trump, you're going to hear him talking about what he wants to do to stop the cities from burning down, stop the rioting in the cities. He'll talk more about trade with China. He'll talk about strengthening our alliance with NATO. He'll talk about all of those different issues. He'll talk about trying to help the people out there that are suffering in this pandemic. You know, the only thing we got out of Joe Biden is he's going to raise taxes and he's going to have a mask over the United States. He's going to inflict. Everybody has to wear a mask.
There'll be a mandatory mask requirement.
Mandatory mask requirement. I want your listeners to hear that. It's not going to be run by the individual governors. So South Dakota is going to be and Arizona are going to be treated the same as New York City. All run out of Washington. That is not right.
And I wonder, John and Jeff, Biden said in an ABC interview over the weekend that he would consider a nationwide shutdown of the country if coronavirus wasn't in effect. And I'm wondering from you gentlemen, does a president have the
authority? He doesn't have that power.
Isn't that up to the states?
That's up to the states. And that's why President Trump focused on getting all of the product there, the PPE and the testing going and all of that. We have more testing than anybody else in the world. And we've got plenty of PPE and ventilators and everything else. But Biden wants to run this from Washington. So he wants to treat Arizona and New Mexico and South Dakota and Utah and all these the same as California. And he doesn't have that power.
That's what I wonder.
The problem that we have is that we have crazy governors like DeSantis in Florida and Kemp in Georgia who won't impose mask requirements. Somebody needs to come up with some national standards. And while he can recommend that, and he can and his health people can say, we believe that masks should be mandatory, I have to agree that I don't think he has the authority. But he can appeal to people's good behavior.
That's what Adolf Hitler did.
This should be mandatory in every state.
A recommendation.
That's not what Joe Biden's talking about. He has said he will shut down the country.
How could he do that?
He has no authority to shut down the country. He has no authority to impose a mask mandate across the country.
He can shut down federal agencies. He can shut down various things.
Sure, he can do that,
like
but he can't shut down private businesses.
Right. Okay,
and Jeff, you're just dead wrong when you say
Kemp is doing a poor job. DeSantis is doing a poor
job.
No, Florida is doing
Florida is actually recovering nicely. Their kids are back in school, and they're doing very nicely. Arizona is improving drastically.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, John and Jeff. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing presenting our Monday political face-off, moesgallery.com. Check it out. They're really, really looks good, the redesigned website. We'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. Jeff and John will be back right after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Here we go. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by our friends at Rincon Venture Real Estate and Property Management. Jeff Rogers is here along with John Munger, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Is this much ado about nothing over the post office?
Absolutely. The Democrats are trying to create an issue that doesn't exist. They're trying to claim that that somehow the post office is changing its policies in some way to prevent mail-in voting. And the they've got the U.S. Postmaster in Congress today before a Democratic committee, and they're trying to prove, and he's denied, that we're going to have any change in the mail system. And he said, absolutely, we're making no changes in the mail system whatsoever until after the election. The post office is going has been going through some tough times. They're going through some cost-saving measures, and he's pledged that he's not going to change anything in the mail system until after the election. And it's just crazy. They don't have any issues, and they make them up as they go. And they, you know, people listen to this and they wonder what's happening. Well, nothing's happening. This whole thing about taking down post boxes, that is part of the ongoing post office policy that's been happening for over a decade, and it's just an issue of modernizing the postal system so it works better. He's pledged we have plenty of ability, we will deliver the mail, ballots are going to get treated with priority. They're going to go in. It's just a non-issue. The Democrats have made it up because they don't want to talk about our cities burning down.
Let me hear what Jeff says about the post office.
The fact is that thousands of machines that sort mail have been dismantled, and they refuse to put them back together again. They have promised this new Postmaster General that he'll stop doing that, dismantling these mail sorting machines, and that he'll stop doing what is obvious is that taking down mailboxes. I mean, we see truckloads of mailboxes being hauled away. And this comes from people within the post office, and some of it's reporters basically photographing people dismantling mailboxes. So the fact is that it's not a made-up problem. It's something that looks highly suspicious, and when at the very same time this is going on in the post offices, that what is also happening is Trump is railing about vote-by-mail ballots and alleging, falsely I might add, that there's fraud. And I will tell you, anecdotally, I'm seeing some delays in mail, particularly mail that comes from the East Coast. My wife and I own part of a boatyard in outside New York City, and as we get checks from there, and they're coming, it's taking like 2 weeks instead of 4 days.
2 weeks from the New York City?
Yeah, I agree. The post office has had problems for a decade and or more.
John, we've had this stuff for 25 years, and it's never taken this kind
Jeff,
of time.
Jeff, it's gotten worse and worse and worse, and the problem
it's
is...
It's gotten worse in the last month.
There's something else I want to talk about.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is it's a made-up issue. The postmaster has pledged that the mail is working. They've been going through major renovations for a long time in the post office. This is nothing new.
And part of it is the mail has to go from Tucson up to Phoenix, which I hate.
I hate
and
that.
It takes forever.
And that Trump didn't do that.
Okay. Another topic. I got an email just during the show here. Scott wants each of you to weigh in on your thoughts on the Mark Kelly, McSally race and this dust up over worldview. Can you each comment on that, Jeff Rogers?
Well, I don't know a lot about the worldview thing. I know that McSally is desperate, and just about everything that comes out of her ads has been rated by PolitiFact as being completely wrong and gets four Pinocchios most of the time out of the Washington Post facts checker. McSally is very, very, very desperate now because she's polling even worse than Trump is in Arizona. She consistently is behind by double digits. So I think she's pretty darn desperate and clutching at straws to try to mischaracterize Mark Kelly's experience in these matters and his investments.
Well, he has invested in this company.
Worldview.
They got a lot of federal money for this investment. So he used his contacts to get federal money for this investment. They laid people off. They've apparently lost the money. And in the process, people have been laid off and fired. And in the process also, he's developed these contacts with China. He's very soft on China, and that is a major problem. China is now our major world adversary, and here we've got a senatorial candidate in Mark Kelly, who
You're saying he cozies up to them.
Absolutely cozies up. He's in bed with the Chinese. and just like Gabby Giffords, who inherited a prosperous company, a tire company, I don't remember the name of it, El Campo Tire, as I recall, inherited from her grandfather and her father, and she took it over, and it went under when she took it under.
She did not go under. She sold it to Goodyear.
Kelly's problem with it is that he's in bed with the Chinese. He doesn't understand workers. He's never been in the private sector his entire life. He's been on the federal payroll his entire life.
So is McSally.
I agree, but she's not doing the things that he's done, and he has borrowed money from the federal government, which McSally has never done.
He's never borrowed money from the federal government.
Yes.
He invested in a company that may have received some federal contract money, but he didn't borrow money from the federal government.
Do you think that McSally can pull this out?
Sure,
John.
She can pull it off. She's going to have to solidify her base. The only reason she lost the last election was she didn't turn out her base principally in Pima County.
Okay. Jeff?
Can't imagine she could pull this out. This is just...
We'll see.
You know, I think Arizona's going to go for Biden, and I think McSally's going to lose by a larger margin than Trump in Arizona.
Do you think the Senate is still going to stay with the Republicans?
I don't think so. Not if the election were held today. I think Democrats would take the Senate. Wow. They'd expand their majority in the House and win the presidency. Now, we're still 2 months and a week out, and a lot can happen.
And we haven't seen a Republican convention yet. And I will tell you that Trump is going to pick up. He's going to get a good bump out of the Republican convention, which is, for your listeners, is happening now. Tune in. But Trump is going to get a good solid bump out of the Republican convention. Then we've got the debates between Trump and Biden.
Three of them, I believe.
Which Biden can't get out of. And they're going
to
go.
Nor would he want to get out of it.
Yeah, he wants to get out of it bad. And his advisors want him to get out of it. His advisors are telling
him. That's not
what
I'm here, John.
Go in the bunker.
I mean, every time Donald Trump opens his mouth, his ratings go down. And the more we see of Donald Trump,
the less
Americans like
him. You're going to see this race tighten up drastically.
Oh,
and a nice bump coming out of the Republican convention and then the debates.
Hey, we've had a very spirited session here. But the thing is, folks, John and Jeff really like each other, and they walk out of here friends after these sessions.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
So that's all part of it. All right, guys, thank you very much, and see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much, Jeff. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. So check it out. They've redesigned the website, looking really good. Coming up now on the Midway Point on the Buckmaster Show, General Wickham is with us on the live line, and he's going to talk about every president, and actually Donald Trump's been pretty fortunate that he has not had a major foreign policy crisis in his administration. General Wickham's going to talk about how very close we came to a war with the North Koreans during the Reagan administration. We'll be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. Yes, it's a Monday. It's air quality is awful outside. I posted on Facebook a few minutes ago. The air quality is so bad that the street lights are coming on in Tucson, and a lot of people saying this is really a good day not to go outside. So it's because of smoke from Arizona and California wildfires, along with just another excessive heat watch. I mean, how many of those have we had? A record number of those for sure. The Buckmaster Show gets support, and so glad we do. I love the people over at Green Things, the owners Jan and Jack, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Beautiful 13-acre site. They have all the plants you need. And they have all the beautiful furniture from Zocalo, the Latin America and Europe imports. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website, also ZocaloVillage.com. And there's a full listing of all of our great partners. Believe me, without these people, it would not be possible for me to be on the radio here for almost 10 full years. You can see all of our partners on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is retired four-star General John Wickham, Jr. General Wickham served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. His book, Korea on the Brink, chronicles a very dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. Let's go now on the live line to General Wickham. General Wickham, how are you today?
Oh, Bill, wonderful. And you've got a wonderful program, and you've got some wonderful supporters and partners that are financing your program, and American people need to have quality media like yours.
Well, thank you very much, General. We are so proud that many of these people have been with us, many of these partners with us for almost the full 10 years since we launched the project. You know, General Wickham, the President of the United States has been fortunate in one way that we have not had a real terrible foreign crisis that really kind of brought us to the brink. You had to deal with that. You and President Reagan, during your time as the chief of United States Army Forces. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you shared with me in a phone conversation over the weekend, that there was a time there where the United States was on the brink, so close to war, which could have turned into a world war. We were on the brink of a war with North Korea.
Exactly, Bill. Reagan was a wonderful president, unlike, unfortunately, what we have today, but that's something else. The North Koreans have tried to test our leaders whenever they've changed, maybe to show the world that we're still a power and need to recognize us. Now, when Reagan became president, the North Koreans tried to shoot down one of our SR-71 reconnaissance airplanes. And Reagan called me as the commander and said, develop a plan to attack North Korea immediately if they try it again. So I did develop a plan, and Reagan approved it. And when we were ready, when the planes flew again, I was in the bunker. People were ready on the DMZ to attack. We had pilots in cockpits ready to go. And I'm sitting in the bunker with the South Korean leaders, and we're listening to the North Koreans. We're able to break their codes, and we could hear the North Korean gunners saying, we are ready now. We're tracking that airplane up there, and we're ready to shoot it down. But another voice came on the North Korean broadcast and said, no, we're not going to do that because we know the Americans now are ready to attack us if we did. What does that reflect? It reflects quality leadership that provided deterrence, and we need more of that today. We need quality leadership that recognizes how to deal with dangerous countries like North Korea. North Korea has 40 nuclear weapons at least, and some of them could reach the United States. I don't think they would do it, but they are a threat to us, and they are leading to nuclear proliferation. That was one of the benefits of the Iran nuclear deal, that it stopped proliferation in the Middle East, and therefore the foolishness of tearing up that agreement. It wasn't a perfect agreement, but at least it stopped the Iranians and others from pursuing nuclear weapons. And now with that agreement torn up, other countries will say, oh, you can't trust the United States. They'll tear up any kind of an agreement. But also it spurs other countries to seek nuclear weapons themselves. The South Koreans and the Japanese are beginning to think they need the nuclear weapons also. So proliferation is on the march, and we need to recognize how to deal with it. And we're not doing a good job. Our State Department, as I said in your wonderful program, is only 60% manned with professional diplomats. How the devil can you have diplomacy if you don't have professionals doing the work? And our administration has not done that with the State Department. So we're not walking the talk about diplomacy and negotiations. But enough about that, Bill. I think I've answered your question.
Yes, and so you're saying we were minutes away from a confrontation that could have gone nuclear.
Amen. We were ready to go. And as I said, I had troops on the DMZ ready to attack north, gunners in cockpits ready to fly. And so, yes, it was a dangerous time. One of our, and my sons was over there in the military, and he was near the DMZ also. So, yes, it was a dangerous time. We could have had a nuclear confrontation with North Korea. You know, when FDR was president, he was prepared to use nuclear weapons to attack North Korea. Fortunately, we never did that. But the nuclear weapon issue is a serious problem, I think underestimated right now, because proliferation is on the march in terms of building weapons. And the danger is that something accidental or promotional could occur. And we need strong quality leadership that understands the real world in which we live. The North Korean Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea during the Korean War, kept saying, we're losing this war because we do not have nuclear weapons and we're going to get them. And they did. And now, is his grandson going to give them up? No. They're going to, they recognize that this is, gives them stature in the world and independence and ability to control their future. So we need to recognize that as we try to negotiate with the North Koreans to have a less threatening situation. And we're not doing that well, in my humble opinion, Bill.
The unification, how, what is the support for a unification of Korea among South Koreans, General Wickham?
It is very strong, and same in the North Korea. It's an interesting illustration of history. The North Koreans believe that they are two Koreans, not contaminated by the Japanese or the United States or other countries. So they have the obligation to unify Korea Korean way. That's why Kim Il-sung attacked the South in June of 1950. And yes, we're going to see Koreans pursuing that. Yes, the Koreans want to reunify their country. They've historically had a capability in the world, and they want that capability again. So we're going to see efforts to try to unify. And we can help them do that in a peaceful way if we're smart about it. But in my humble opinion, Bill, we're not smart right now.
All right, General Wickham, you're sounding great. 92 years old, General Wickham, you really are an inspiration. And I know you've had issues with your eyesight, but man, you're all over it today. You sound really strong. I appreciate that.
Well Bill, it's your wonderful program that has been an inspiration to me and many others that listen to it, and the wonderful work you're doing and the partners that support your program. That's also wonderful too. So, my humble opinion, keep it up, Bill, and people like me and others will support you.
Thank you very much, General John Wickham, for his monthly visit with us on The Buckmaster Show. We're going to take a break right here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio and The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and this portion is presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit Silver City so you're ready when New Mexico is once again open to out-of-state visitors. You can check out, and I hope you do, their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for all of the great ideas of things to do and great places to stay in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time for our monthly Mexico report with Keith Rosenblum, who is a longtime border journalist, one-time congressional aide to United States Representative Jim Colby. Keith, how are you today, sir?
Happy to see that former boss Jim Colby is among signatories of Republicans supporting Biden.
Really?
Yeah, just saw that. Washington Post today, he's among them. And it doesn't surprise me because Jim became increasingly less comfortable with the Republican Party. It would have been in the 90s. It didn't surprise me. I saw Jim maybe 2 months ago, and it was clear that Trump, regardless of policy, and there's not much where Jim agrees with him on policy anyway, but he found him to be just a man not worthy of Jim Colby's support, which I like. Even if he differs with him politically, Jim has that element of decency to him.
All right. I have a lot of folks who are asking me about travel to Mexico. Could you please clear that up for us today?
Clear it for you going both ways. The first way is the easy. Well, they're both easy, actually. The easy way going south is anybody can go, period. For a while, there were some lines getting into Mexico where one day it took me 45 minutes to get in in my vehicle. If you go as a pedestrian, there's no wait whatsoever. And that's what I do most commonly. When I've gone in lately in a car, generally it's been 2 minutes, no line whatsoever to get in. However, periodically, Nogales has put up this chamber where you get a quick spray of whatever the chemical is and you're on your way. And when there's a lot of traffic going into Mexico, for example, on a Friday night or maybe on a Monday morning, there were some waits. So going southbound, there's no restrictions whatsoever. On a national level, supposedly Mexico has said, well, we want to keep people from having too much social contact. But in the reality of it is that there's no difference whatsoever to pre-pandemic times. And the answer to the question about coming north is actually the lines are varying from 15 minutes to a half hour in a vehicle, right on up to 2 hours, again, depending on when you come through. But we still have a restriction on Mexicans, and we've now put that, and no one can come into the U.S. from Mexico unless they're a resident, a citizen, or, and this is kind of a loosely defined area, but it's essential business. So if you actually live in Mexico and you have what we consider to be essential business, which could actually be something as simple as going to Walmart to buy something for your business. But we made it sound really intimidating, and very few people are exercising it. So, for example, when I go to Nogales these days, Nogales, Mexico, I have people saying, hey, Keith, please help us. Can you help us conduct some essential business? We got some, and you know, the wink, of course, is we have some shopping to do and we need to do some things in Tucson. We've largely cut off the flow because not everybody can make that case for essential business.
Can people still cross the border to have their dental work done? I know a lot of people from Tucson do that.
Bill, everything is as before. And the only thing I have to say about this, which I've been working with CBP and also the Customs and Border Protection and also with the city of Nogales, the only impediment to it is that because the lines coming back as a pedestrian can be anywhere from, as I say, 5 or 10 minutes at one point to as much as an hour and a half or 2 hours at another, the best thing that I can suggest, I'm talking about downtown Nogales, what I do as a question of dignity is if I see the line's going to be more than a half hour, 45 minutes, I just hop a taxi or a bus on up to the border of the Mariposa Road entrance, which on the Mexican side is called the Periférico. On the Arizona side is called Mariposa Road. And there's never a pedestrian wait. How's that? Mm. You get up, you downtown all congested, and you got to wait for a while. Periférico / Mariposa Road, no wait whatsoever. You got agents waiting to do something. They're just basically sitting there with their hands folded, which is a pity. It shouldn't be that way. The problem is when you cross over to into Nogales, Arizona at Mariposa Road, then you got to figure out, okay, how do I get back downtown? And you either have to have someone meet you up there or a cab is $10. So the other day, on Friday night, when I crossed in myself, I got tired. I saw the line in downtown, said, this is not going to happen. And I hopped a taxi, which is 60 pesos for anywhere you go in Nogales, by the way. It's a uniform price. So it's like $3 to go anywhere in the city of Nogales. Took the 60 peso fare up to the Mariposa crossing, crossed over in no time whatsoever because there's no people there. And then I just was in a mood for walking. So I actually started the walk. It's about a 2.5 mile walk to back into downtown Nogales from there. And along the way, this is it's the way that life should be. I'm walking from 6:30, 7 o'clock on a Friday night, walking along Mariposa Road. Guys in a pickup truck honk and say, "Hey, do you want a lift?" So I said, "Sure." And I said, "Do you want me to hop in the back of the pickup?" And they said, "No, just hop in the cab." So I got to know two guys on my way to the border, the Bolanos brothers, and that was that. Anyway, there's been for Americans, there's no change whatsoever in traveling to. Anywhere in Nogales, certainly the border area. And so far as I can tell, all the tourism destinations, so Cabo, Cancun, Mazatlan, Acapulco, Mexico City, all those places are wide open.
But why do we hear the border is shut down?
Because we're hearing it about, we're hearing the use that we use, which is what Customs and Border Protection uses and what our Department of State uses. We said we shut it to them. We've shut it to the Mexicans coming north if they're not either don't have residency in the U.S. or are not also American citizens or if they don't have essential business. Again, essential business, we had a death in my wife's family and the family from the border area could not go to the funeral in Phoenix because they fell outside of that exclusion of essential business, even though it was, to many ways of people thinking more important than essential business to go to a funeral. They couldn't because they didn't fit that category. So what you're hearing when the border is closed is you're hearing it closed to northbound traffic to Mexicans or to other people who'd be coming through those ports.
All right, Keith, we're going to have to wrap it up. Got about a minute to go.
My pleasure. And have accumulate those Mexico questions, Bill.
All right.
Whoever has a Mexico question, feel free, and I'll get back to you right away. Even if I'm not on the air, call if you have a listener who needs something.
Okay, thank you very much. Keith Rosenblum. With us, our Mexico report, which we do every month here on the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it. What a crazy day. This has been, I'll tell you, it's really weird outside. It looks like the streetlights are coming on in some parts of town. The air quality's so bad. Bill Buckmaster, hoping it's a great afternoon for you. John Couch agreeing with me, engineering producing. Have a great afternoon.